Yeah. You know, things are still kind of moving forward in the Tampa Bay area, but I think we're seeing a lot more flexibility in pricing. So one of the things is to try to figure out, you know, what people have paid for their properties. If it looks like it's been a short-term investment, what do they still need to recoup to sell the property? What are they looking for? But at the same time, they may have decided that now is the time to be out of the market for them. And so, therefore, they're looking to get some other options.
And you're welcome for that feedback there, if you heard that.
Yeah, there was no charge.
Peter's helping us here on that. Very good, Peter. Appreciate that. Yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, one of the biggest disappointments some sellers have is coming to the closing table after selling their property with a check. But it happens. It truly does. Some of these negative amortization loans and the softness in the market. We got some new statistics out there just reported. Not all positive, but Florida existing home sales are from a year ago down 19%. Existing condo sales down 18%. So, interestingly, the existing home price is up by a small percentage. So, you know, there's a little bit of disconnect there, you know? What do you think?
Well, we've still got all of those people moving to Florida. Everybody wants the good old sunshine and the types of days that we're having today with the beautiful weather, especially in the winter time. So you've got the people coming in with money and resources, and that's going to affect the market.
And coming from the Northeast, I know the pricing, although it does seem prohibitive to some, and the increases over the last couple of years have been dramatic. If you are coming from the Northeast and you know, other parts of the country as well, it's still fairly attractive. So there. Anyway, let's see. This week, 30-year fixed rate mortgage, the average nationwide, I believe this is 6.37%. Is anybody still doing a 30-year?
Oh yeah. there's without, lots of people out there.
Without some wrinkle, I mean, you know. I don't know. I'm you know, they're hard to find. But anyway, that's a 2.5-year high. I've got a.
Well, but still, if you look at that in perspective, that's not bad compared to what it was maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
Absolutely. So. Historically, we still got very attractive rates. I mean, you know, it really is.
It's just a matter of trying to keep it in perspective. So people have that short term memory that, well, 2 years ago I could get 5%. Well, that was 2 years ago, and you know, you could have paid 20% or 40% less for a house 2 years ago.
So, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Yeah. Did you own any tech stocks out there, anybody? I used to work for Lucent Technologies and owned a lot of Lucent stock through the employee purchase plan.
Yeah.
By the time, and AT&T before that, by the time they were done splitting and selling off bits and pieces, I couldn't figure out the value of the stock. I just sold the whole shoot and match, and I have tax write-offs for several more years because it can only $3,000 a year. So,
well, and you know, same thing as gas. I mean, gas several years ago we were at 99 cents, and we watched it go over a dollar, and went, "Oh my goodness!" And then it went shot up to over $3, and we went, "Oh!" And now, you know, $1.30 looks good, or $2.30 looks good. So. It's just a matter of trying to keep things into perspective. Another thing that's important for people to keep into perspective, especially if they're moving to Florida, is that we have no sales tax. Oh, excuse me, we have no income tax. So sometimes people will go into that little bit of a deer in the headlights, cardiac arrest, Elizabeth, I'm coming type of situation, because they'll see what their property tax bill is going to be. But that's the way that the government supports their services. So we don't have a state income tax that people can pay to Tallahassee and then have it distributed back to the counties. They're all self-supporting. So,
which may lead us into a story that made the front page of the St. Pete Times today.
Which was?
Which was the county, Hillsborough, buying property in a, let's see, St. Pete Times. Hillsborough schools pay big to buy new sites. To get the land it needs to build new schools, Hillsborough has been willing to pay a premium to brokers that other districts don't. We'll leave it at that, other than I'm sure our county commissioners and taxpayers are very pleased this morning to read that and to hear me repeat it, of course.
Well, you have to look at all the different growth. There's a thing called a concurrency law in the state of Florida that says we're supposed to have infrastructure completed before new development is approved, but I think at times we put the cart before the horse. So in Hillsborough County, we've been having such phenomenal growth, they can't keep up with that infrastructure, including the schools. So the last number I believe I saw was that we were about 60, and that's a 6-0 schools behind what we actually needed. So if they're trying to be somewhat proactive, that's probably a good thing.
Right. Well, the article went on to say there's only two people in the county employees working there on that. So they're, you know, and spending multi-millions of dollars. So, you know, there's that. What I have here, a couple of pieces of news. I pulled these off the internet. And let's see, headline, homeowners worry about higher ARM payments. Gee, no kidding. Would you worry about them with an interest rate rise?
Well, gee, what is an ARM, John?
Oh, an ARM? Well, I have two of them, thank goodness.
In mortgage terms,
okay. Adjustable rate mortgage, as I'm sure you folks are aware of. Ruth is really, she knew the answer. She was just testing me to see if
it was a test, and you passed.
Right. So, you know, you've got those variables. A lot of folks, I'm finding, as you know, I help people out in situations where they're having difficulties with the mortgages and falling behind. They've got those variable rates, and then a lot of them were fixed for 2 years. So if they were fortunate to buy 2 years ago, they've got some pretty good appreciation probably. But now they're into variable territory, and they've taken, you know, some hits. 1% on a $200,000, $300,000 loan is going to, you know, make a big difference in your monthly nut. So it's I'm seeing that more and more, and it's a little bit of a challenge for some folks. I think that's why there's a lot of properties on the market.
Let me ask you a question, and I'm kind of catching you off guard, but based on what you've said, with the types of properties that you come across that tend to be having foreclosure issues or potential foreclosure issues, is there a certain type of mortgage that you've seen more than others that these people have come across?
Yeah, I'm seeing the 90 to 100% financing typically and variable rates, which tells me, you know, the credit wasn't great going in. You know, and a lot of folks did either refis and took money out or took seconds, you know, lines of credit and what have you. So basically, you know, they sit now, unfortunately, in a situation where, given the selling costs, and, you know, you can try to sell it yourself, but it's very challenging. But closing costs, by the time you're done, you can't go to a discount broker that says, you know, 2% commission, because I, as an agent, or Ruth or anybody, I'm not real motivated, because, you know, the 2% stays with the listing broker is their deal. Really, you've seen on the MLS, right, the $2 commission?
Yes, I have.
Yes.
Uh-huh. The $2 commission.
And, of course, you hop right in your car to go show your customers that property, do you?
Well, let's just say that there is a lot of freedom to search the internet. So I think what happens is you have to understand that real estate, like other occupations, is market driven, you know, and that people will, as any business might, sacrifice certain things for a good customer. But when they start coming up into a negative situation, then you're asking a lot. Most people are not in business to do it for free or to have to pay out costs for themselves. So everybody has bills and families to support and things like that. So real estate, you know, there usually pretty much anything in real estate is negotiable. However, there's also that return on investment. So $2 doesn't buy a gallon of gas these days, and that would make it kind of difficult to see a profit on that. So
right. The some people be a little surprised at what it costs annually in terms of our expenses. And you know, I know, you know, we've all heard it, and I know before I became an agent, you know, I didn't feel real warm and fuzzy about paying a sales commission or, you know, the commission when you multiply it out by the dollars. But I do know that it's, you know, now on this side, what goes into it, the amount of time, and the time has value.
It's time, it's research, it's helping people become familiar with neighborhoods, it's the price of gas, the wear and tear on your car, you don't have an employer taking out your income tax, so that comes out of that. Health insurance costs, I think for my husband and I, we have pretty good health, but it's still over $500, $600 a month. So it just, you know, it adds up to running a business, and you have to try to do the best you can most efficiently, plus the fact that sometimes even on listings, we take that as we will do our utmost to market it, but there is no guarantee. So you could spend, I had one person I spent about $2,800 on, and they were supposed to reimburse me for those expenses, but I took them at their word, and I didn't get it in writing. Mistake on my part.
Well,
so that was, you know, $2,800 out of pocket, and it sold, but I just trusted them that they would be true to their word, and it didn't happen that way. So that was a life lesson. But you know, all of those ads, those open house ads, the food, the signs, all of those things have costs.
Right, the ongoing internet expenses, as you well know, it's I guess it's a matter of debate, but 90% now, I think it's up to 90. I think 90% is the real number. Will actually use the internet at some point in their home search, and you know, as the population ages, you know, more and more, you know, the baby boomer generation is fairly computer literate, and those folks that, you know, computers are a foreign language. It's
well, but even a lot of the seniors now, they've got kids, grandkids that are still at least setting them up with email, so and some basic rudimentary internet abilities, so that they can open attachments and see pictures of the grandkids and things like that. So it's becoming more and more an involved part of their life, even if it's a senior citizen or a mature client.
Yeah, and you know, as far as senior citizens go, you know, like I intend to live forever, you know, and so far so good.
Well, depends on how many Cokes and coffee and stuff you drink with all the preservatives.
Well, it's that caffeine. I live for caffeine. And, you know, and by the way, we really haven't talked about this, but, you know, it is spring training. Baseball, the real season's right around the corner. Peter's shaking his head. Yes, we have a baseball fan. I happen to be a hardcore, formerly long-suffering Red Sox fan.
Oh.
Ooh, and I'm sorry, I, you know, although Tampa Bay, you know, is a, you know, I, that's where I get my news about, but, you know, the Sox are my boys. Now, for you Yankees fans out there, I will be nice. Oh, Peter's telling me the show just ended here.
He's going to pull the plug.
But anyway, Schilling's healthy this year, and I'm happy because I love my boys. But anyway, so... What do you got there? You got a piece of paper?
Well, I was just, this was in the St. Petersburg Time this week. We were talking a little bit about the seniors, and it was an article dealing with the fastest growing age group is 85 and older. I teach a real estate designation that deals with the mature market and the baby boomers, their parents and grandparents. And in the next 20 years, that age group is going to grow over 4,500%. So
4,000
over 4,500%. I think it's like 4,537
in the 85 plus.
Mm-hmm,
no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, where's that part about living forever?
Well, this says the good news is that we're not just living longer, we're healthier as well. So you've got that the older population is expected to double by 2030. So, and that's going to make up 20% of the total population. So We have the graying of America in a lot of ways.
Is that you mean the graying of my temples here?
No, not necessarily the eyebrows in the temples.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to ask if you color your hair because I'm going to get in trouble.
Let's just say I'm going with the precious metal concept, the gold and the silver. But they're just saying that you know, the whole demographics, about 36 million Americans are over 65. That figure is going to double in the next 24 years. So when you're thinking in terms of, I mean, I'm part of the baby boomers. I'm smack dab in the middle. It's people from 46 to 64, and they're having a lot of things that they necessarily didn't anticipate to deal with, including aging of parents, aging of grandparents, trying to retain independence, but yet making sure that there's not a lot of health issues, financial issues, and things like that. So it was a very interesting article, and there's a lot of information out there about ways that we can help family members or friends and their family members and things like that deal with that.
Not to get off the topic of real estate, but I think, you know, if you really look, stand back, and if you look at the way the government's operating with all these tax incentives for health savings accounts, mm-hmm. retirement plans, the IRAs, the Roths, all that kind of stuff, I mean, you know, you don't have to read too hard between the lines to think Social Security, you know, the numbers aren't there. And Medicare, you know. You know, it's just going to be.
Well, it's kind of like physician heal thyself, or every person for themselves. You know, you can't rely on the government to do that. You've got to be able to take care of yourself. The good news is there are resources and things out there. One of the things that first got me focused on the senior market, well, it was two things, actually. My mother-in-law was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and so our family started having to deal with all of the ins, outs, intricacies, ups, downs that particular disease entails. And I also came across a wonderful publication called the Senior Directory, which a lady has taken it upon herself to compile all of these different resources, everything from assisted living facilities, community resources, different professional resources that are there for families. So if somebody's out there kind of wondering, where do I go and where do I look? You know, if they can find that senior directory, a lot of times it's at these different facilities. Is it the hospitals? It's at Perkins restaurants tend to carry them and that type of thing. And that was just a phenomenal resource to come across and have access to. So just one of those things that there's a lot of people out there who have healthy seniors, and that's a wonderful thing. And then there's some people that are starting to have to deal with issues.
I have an uncle who is the healthiest guy around. The doctor asked him why he keeps coming to the doctor for checkups. Is because, you know, his wife, before my aunt, before she passed away, told him he had to go every year. He's a bull.
All right. Well, that's good. Well, that's maybe why he stays healthy, is because he doesn't let these things bother.
Tax season is about here, or it is here. I will see. I have a tax expert that we will bring on, but just quick things that, of course, most of you are probably aware of, but everyone may not be. You've got mortgage interest deduction, of course, on your taxes. Property taxes are deductible, and more. You know, there's some caveats to that. First of all, let me preface it by saying consult a competent tax advisor, because, you know, although I do my own taxes, believe it or not, takes me forever, but it's a point of pride for me. If you did a real estate transaction this year, paid points, those typically are deductible. Investors have depreciation, and so on and so forth. So we don't want to forget those things. Save you a few dollars from Uncle Sam. To tell you what a great real estate agent I am, I have a...
and he's humble too, but this is good. Well, there's that.
I have a... Yeah. Actually, one of my wife's customers, he's been down here about 8-9 months from New Jersey, opened a restaurant, Chianti's in Valrico. If you've never been there for Italian food, it's...
Molto bene.
Oh, okay, I'm whatever you say.
Yeah, Italian. I love it.
Anyway, marvelous. So, you know, we've been chatting off and on. He's waiting for his wife to get down here. She's been up in New Jersey, so she's finally down here last week and doesn't know the area well. He wanted to look around Apollo Beach area, which is where I am and is my primary focus. So we drove around down there. I went down to the beach where she had gotten a sunburn a couple days before. She thought she was in Sarasota, but you know, there's that. So,
well, all those places in Florida look alike.
Right. So I just bought a new car, I don't know, a few days before, and they gave me a full tank of gas, and I'm driving her around, and we're on our way back. I'm going to drop her back to the restaurant where she can, you know, pick up the car, here's John pulling out of Fishhawk after we did a little tour there, and guess what? I ran out of gas.
Okay.
So I'm always, of course, well prepared, and she was very impressed. Actually, lovely woman, very kind, and if she's listening, Debbie, I'm terribly sorry. Again, I couldn't apologize enough.
So was it because you didn't notice where the gas gauge was in your new car?
Well, there's that, I guess. I don't
you can
know.
Blame
just
that.
Not used to. You know, I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with it. There's
right.
a lot of gauges and little gizmos there.
Yes.
Do you realize I have? You know, I was looking at the car today. There's actually features in the armrest. Between the seats. There's features. There's like things. I don't know what they do.
All right. Well, you might have to get the manual out, John, in order to start doing your research here.
So, anyway.
Did you walk to the gas station or did you call AAA or what did you do?
You know, in some of these areas, a long way. The AAA, thank goodness, showed up in 45 minutes. So that was great. Anyway.
Well, now you realize in 45 minutes from Fishhawk, you could have walked in either direction to the 7-Eleven and the gas station and probably.
Well, I was thinking about it, but it was one. I don't want to sweat that much. I don't
know. All right.
Because
right, you're delicate. I know.
Yeah, I'm 6'2". I'm a little bit over 250. Yeah, I walk 2.5 miles in the morning, and
well,
I try to
good.
Anyway. We have a caller.
We do. That's good.
I believe it's Easy or Ease. Hi, Ease. How are you? Let us know how we pronounce your name.
Easy is correct. It's not difficult.
Oh, very good.
You probably get that a lot, don't you, Easy?
Oh, yes, I do.
How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. Enjoy your show.
Oh, thank you.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
On the single home insurance, the insurance is going up tremendously because of, I guess, the risks that the companies are taking. And my question is, should I go with the evaluation that the insurance company places on the home, or could I reduce it, and how would that affect me in the future?
Well, and I'd like to get Ruth's input on this, and this is more my personal feeling than anything else. Again, you really need to understand insurance, what's covered, what's not in this area. We've got, you know, obviously the flood issues, flood insurance. The reason rates have gone up so much is the horrific damage and destruction done by, you know, over the last few years with the hurricanes and so forth. More and more insurers are just pulling out of the state. There are very few left. Citizens, the rates are doubling in areas and more. It's just, it's very difficult. Actually, it's a major consideration when you're purchasing a home now. You've got to know, you know.
Well, it used to be several years ago that you could wait until right before closing to go off and find your insurance. Now it's one of the first things we ask people to do so that they can know what their potential costs are going to be. Easy, one of the things to take into account is obviously if there's a mortgage on the property.
No, there's no mortgage. It's paid off, and it was bought in 79 for $40,000, and now it's evaluated at $81,000 by the insurance company. It's a three-bedroom, too bad, but nothing has been done to it since it was built in 71. And I'm wondering,
well,
the lot may be worth more than the property.
Yeah. I have a property out in Plant City I'm looking at to help this fellow out. And he's in foreclosure, and he's got a lot, too. But the cost to remove the house is expensive. You have to decide. You know, building codes obviously have changed since your home was built.
Right.
It has to be built back to code. Let's say it's severely damaged in a storm. Are you willing to take the risk of having to eat, you know, a big financial piece if you don't have that full replacement type coverage?
Well, as I understand it, insurance companies don't do replacement value anymore anyway. Is that true?
No, they will. It's just going to be that they're possibly stricter in their underwriting guidelines for those types of things. It may depend on the age of the house. It may depend on if it's wood frame versus block. It's, you know, location and proximity to the water. There's a lot of different things that the insurance companies will take into account.
Yeah,
I think primarily, Easy, the the bottom line question is, how much risk are you willing to assume if something were to happen to that house, whether it's a hurricane, whether it's a fire, whether it's you know, an act of God or something like that? Are you willing to take that 40,000 loss or 80,000 loss or whatever, or do you want at least some type of financial protection?
Well, I figure on a let me see, 1971-72, that's about 35-year-old house. I'm willing to take some loss because of the increased value of the lot itself. It's, you know, across the street from a four block lake over here in St. Petersburg. It's the main library. There's a lake behind it. And I'm just looking east at the lake, and I look over the lake, and I can see the rockets rise at Cape Kennedy, Cape Canaveral.
That's cool.
I'm wondering about the lot value and compared to the house value. Is it worth insuring it? Because I understand if you have a pretty good insurance claim, there many insurance companies would, in the future, then cancel the home insurance anyway.
It's a difficult situation right now with insurance, and it's ever changing.
Well, what it used to be that if you had a small claim, it wasn't a big deal, but at this point, they're pretty much counting any claims as your claims history. So you have to offset what kind of return you might potentially get, and again, what kind of out of pocket risk, higher deductibles, maybe in your situation, it's better to have at least some type of insurance on the property, but just have it with a very high deductible. So that if it was a total loss or major damage to the structure, you would have some type of protection. If it's something that's relatively minor where you're willing to take the risk on or the exposure yourself, then you don't have to worry about it.
Our insurance company is flexible on increasing the deductible out of norm or out of normal ranges.
They might. It depends on the company that you worked for. In a past life, I was an insurance adjuster. So you'd have to probably do a little bit more research. They like customers who have high deductibles because they know that those people are not going to be making small types of claims. It's only going to be a major type of loss that then they're really needed. And so for the most part, they like people to have high deductibles.
Oh, great. Am I allowed to mention the company I'm insured with?
Well, I don't know that you necessarily need to. It's just one of those things of if you feel like they're doing a good job for you, but it never hurts to shop around.
I've never claimed anything in 26 years.
Taken your money, right?
My money.
You know, the whole concept behind insurance, and people always say that, is, of course, you're going to spread the risk, and that's what you're doing. You're spreading the risk. So if you were to approach them and say, look, I'm willing to take a $5,000, maybe $10,000 deductible, and I'm not sure, underwriting insurance is changing. You know, by the hour, it seems.
Yeah, I could do that,
You know, then, you know, the $10,000 is the worst that you're going to take the hit on, and then maybe you can get, you know, the coverage. Maybe a thought. I mean, there's no reason not to call and ask, and you can check with other companies.
Yeah, I'm thinking of switching to an agent for the same company that is close to my house. Is there any... Do you think I would have difficulty switching to a new agent for the same company?
No, the new agent would like it.
They would just take over, and not.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah. As far as I know, unless there's a state law that I'm unaware of here in Florida, I spent a year in the insurance business many years ago. So. One year.
So
The only thing would be your current agent might just want to make sure if you were leaving because of location and proximity and convenience, or whether you were unhappy with their service. So.
Yeah, well, you see, I've never, you know, I just paid my bill every year for 26 years and never asked, never told, you know.
Then you're a good, solid customer, and I'm sure they'd want to keep your business.
Great. Thank you for your information.
Okay, easy.
Oh, the idea of high deductible is very valuable, very helpful.
Okay, well,
thank you very
inquire
much.
About
you
that
have a
and
good
we
day.
Wish you good luck.
Thank you, you too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
We have Glenn, from Sarasota calling in, and good afternoon, Glenn. How are you?
How are you doing? I love your show.
Well,
excellent.
Thanks very much.
I got a question. You were both talking about a subject that has really started to burn my insides a little bit, is this insurance issue. And I noticed just this past month, I got a notice from my insurance company that my rates were going to increase by $200 a month due to this Citizens Insurance debacle that's going on with a lot of these homes that are being built on the waterfront that are being destroyed. And I was just curious if you've got any play on that, on what you're hearing and what you're seeing about what Citizens Insurance is causing a lot of homeowners in the United, in the state of Florida to have to almost go up by $100 to $200 in cost.
What kind of property do you have, Glenn?
I've got a ranch out here in the Parrish, Sarasota area. It's 4-3. And the reason the insurance went up, according to State Farm, was due to Citizens Insurance. That we are having to pay that additional monies to cover the loss that they incurred on this last hurricane.
Yeah, the way insurance works, you know, when you've got a, you know, the insurer of last resort, the state one, is all insurance companies writing business in the state will have to pay money into the pool fund, if you will, to help cover their losses. And unfortunately, even though you're insured with State Farm, part of your premium dollars is going into that.
Do you think that's fair?
I have long felt that people who live in areas let's take federal flood insurance, mm-hmm. and I live near the water, so I'm 6 inches above the bad zone.
Ooh, that's going to make a lot of difference.
Yeah, right. But it makes a big difference in the insurance premium, let me tell you. Anyway, I have long felt if you can afford to, and if you're going to build there, that, you know, the taxpayers shouldn't be bailing you out. I don't think I'm a conservative sort in that regard.
Well, I agree, and I have to tell you that I lived on the water, and I would awake many a times with water around the house due to the, you know, of course, the, like you said, you're in low elevation. So I moved up here, you know, 35 feet above sea level, and lo and behold, I'm still paying it.
Well, the market trend obviously is up. It's just up, up, up. They've incurred horrendous losses. Citizens is running a huge deficit in the billions.
That's their problem, though.
Well, unfortunately, because so many insurers have left the state, you know, if you have a home, you really got to have insurance. Your mortgage company is going to make you have insurance if you have a mortgage.
Absolutely.
You know, so, you know, you're fortunate that you're still with a private carrier, so many have left.
I know. It's a shame, though. It's a shame that it's structured the way it is, in my opinion. I mean, what little that is. But
well, there's always the opportunity, Glenn, to let your representatives know how you feel. I know that there's people that are always they've had some articles in the last week or two where they're really looking at ways to amend that system and try to enhance it and improve it. So
I
would say, you know, just get on the myflorida.com website. There should be ways there to give feedback to the Department of Insurance and the representatives there, and just tell them exactly what your concerns are, and see maybe if enough people do that, then they can get some good feedback and do something positive with
it. I appreciate you letting me vent to you.
You're a good man, Glenn.
Okay.
And you guys have a wonderful day.
Thanks. You very much. You know,
bye-bye.
And I'm all for wealthy people. I'd like to be a wealthy people myself, or more wealthy people. I don't know. I have love in my life, though. Anyway,
and good looks.
And
so
good
what
looks?
More could,
oh,
yeah, what
God.
More could you want? Love and good looks.
All right, I got my hip waders on. So yeah. It'll be all right. But anyway, the if you've got some big old mansion on $10 million, you know, property on the water, I'm sorry, you should be paying your full share.
Well,
and that's just the way
you know,
I feel
and the
about
whole
it.
Hurricane thing is just literally. I mean, there's no way to predict it. So. You say, well, gee, if we wouldn't let anybody build on the beach anywhere around the coast of the United States, then we wouldn't have these problems. But people can, you know, communities can go hundreds of years without having any issues, and all it takes is one, and then you see the consequences and the repercussions.
Right. Well, and unfortunately, you've got, you know, the predictions for the next 10, 20 years are, you know, they expect a lot more of this kind of stuff. But anyway, let's see what else we had here. This was an interesting piece. Strategies for transitioning 2006 real estate market. Before I do that, oh, yes, let me give you the call-in is 877-355-1040. I'm sorry, 877-355-1040.
So it's a toll-free number, and then your phone number if they want to contact you
directly
during the week.
Yeah, I finally got my website to look decent.
And you were up till what time this morning?
Pain and suffering. I went to bed at 5 a.m.
All righty then.
So, but...
But it looks good, right?
It looks good. Not everything's quite working. It looks better. Anyway, wanttosaveyourhome.com. I am serious about being ethical and honest and helping people save their homes if they're having financial difficulties or minimizing any pain and suffering if that's not going to work out. It's something many years ago as a young, foolish man, I went through. There were quite a few things I could have done to help myself I was unaware of. I got educated. I got a lot of experience. And, and I like to help people out doing that. So,
well, John, I do have to commend you, though, because there's a lot of people that might be looking to take advantage of people in very difficult situations. And your commitment to doing the right thing and helping them find the right thing is to be admired.
Right. Well, actually, as you say, there's those one fellow called them predators. Yeah, there are predators out there. But if you want to be treated in a fairly correctly, then and there was an interesting piece in the Wall Street Journal this week about voice over IP, which sounds VoIP, they call it, as an ex-techie. A recovering techie, I should say. That's just making your phone calls over the internet.
That stays up till 5 o'clock in the morning doing a website.
There's that, but anyway, I'm recovering. I'm not fully recovered. No.
You're still in therapy. But anyway. I know.
The beauty of that is, frankly, I would be more than happy to have paid other companies, but this one company that I use can ring both my office phone and my cell phone at the same time. So I give out one number, no matter where it is, and
life is good.
Then. Yes, unless the internet goes down, and then
you're
actually it still goes to the cell phone. But
all right, that's good.
There's that. So, anyway,
so you were going to read something?
Oh yeah, let's see. Oh yes, strategies for transitioning market. Real quick, this was just a fellow that wrote, about the warning signs on. He starts out: real estate consumers are the winners in the latest round of real estate bubble headlines. Deepening media's focus offers information and market practices. Anyway, it goes on. Warning signs of a softening market. Incentives offered by builders on completed new construction indicates an oversupply of new units. We've talked about. We know that incentives are on there. Pick up Sunday's paper. You'll see them. Diminishing multiple offer bidding wars. Can't say I've been involved in one of those in a while.
I might get involved in one today. We'll see.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. The rising absorption rate of properties currently for sale. We won't go into all the details of that, but basically, when you take price ranges, how quickly are these things, being absorbed into the market? Rising mortgage interest rates. As you know, rates are up a little bit, although they're still very attractive. And increase of interest-only and 100% financing. So those are, all in play, and I think that kind of sums up the market.
So bottom line, the market has softened. It's not the mad, frantic pace that we were looking at, but things are still out there. They're still good bargains, good buys, good sells.
Okay, and we've got to wrap.